I'd like to read in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26, and verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man, by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man, if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now the Gospel by Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12, and verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Now the Gospel by John, chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Finally, in chapter 19, John's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will bless what we have heard tonight and help us to preach the gospel further from these scriptures that we have read. I would like tonight, by God's help, to speak on some short, to the point, pithy sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he never spoke an idle word. He never took a wrong step. He never had a wrong thought. He was unique, far different from us, don't you think? I would like to notice four of his statements that we have read in these verses. In Matthew chapter 26, he spoke in relation to Judas Iscariot. He said it were good for that man. He had not been born. And that's a weighty statement. You think that over tonight. Why was it good that that man should not have been born? Because Judas Iscariot was about to betray. He was about to sell the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Good for him. He had not been born. You could sell him for less. Could it be said the same about you? Good for you. You had never been born. When we come to John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said to these people, why do you not believe me? They believed the devil, but they wouldn't believe the truth. Why are you not saved tonight? My friend, it's because you won't believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks the truth. Man in his natural state doesn't want the truth. Eve sold herself and believed the lie, and right down through the ages, men believed the lie before they would believe the truth. And the Lord Jesus said, why do you not believe me? Because he spoke the truth. But you see, salvation is believing his word. His word is truth. And there's where salvation lies. But the question, why do you not believe me? We read from Mark chapter 12. A man answered the Lord Jesus very discreetly or wisely. And the Savior said concerning him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But not far from the kingdom doesn't mean that he was in it. He was close to it, but we never read he entered in. You could be one step from heaven, land and hell, to be there forever. To rue the day you ever seen the light of day. To rue the night that you rejected Christ as he was presented to you as the only remedy for your sin. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. It may be someone this meeting tonight, and as you think back over your life, why there were times in that life of yours and your experience, maybe when you were not far from the kingdom of God, and yet tonight, friend, finds you outside, still outside that kingdom. You may have come close, but what if you never enter in? Think of your destiny for the great eternity. There's a heaven to be gained. There's a hell to be shunned. You must be born again if you're ever going to be in God's heaven. Very solemn words. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. We read the words of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. The last recorded words in John's gospel of what he uttered. He said, it is finished. It is paid in full. It is complete. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. Salvation. Oh, what words tonight. Friend, it's finished. Can you add to it? Can you take from it? Could you better it? Never. But if you were willing to trust him tonight, you could have your sins forgiven. You could have the knowledge. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. But if you miss Christ, you miss heaven. You see, some people think they can pay their way into heaven. You haven't got enough. Oh, you say I'm rich? Maybe so. But the way to heaven is straight and plain. You must be born again. There must be a link to Christ. For there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The soul that's going to swell redemption song are those who have put their trust in a man who died on a middle cross yonder outside Jerusalem's walls on Mount Calvary where precious blood was shed for the cleansing of sin. Friend, tonight the gospel presents the work is finished. Complete. God is satisfying. What about you in this meeting tonight? Is it enough that Jesus died and rose again for you. Now here we have a solemn scene in Matthew chapter 26. The Lord Jesus came in and he sat down with the 12. 13 sat around the table. He uttered words that searched every heart. He says, one of you shall betray me. Friend, tonight, I wonder, will one of you betray the Lord Jesus Christ? Will one of you sell him? Will one of you land where Judas Iscariot landed? Judas Iscariot arrived in hell. He's there tonight. A million years from tonight, he'll still be there. A billion years from tonight. Oh, may God impress your heart tonight. What could be more solemn? What could be more searching than for a poor sinner to die in their sin and land in hell? That's why the Savior uttered these words. It were good for that man. He had not been born. Ah, friend, tonight, some people think, well, we live in hell. This is our heaven. This is our hell. That's nonsense. There's no water in hell. There's water here tonight. There's no water in hell. A man we read of in Luke chapter 16, he would like one drop. Oh, may it reach your heart tonight. Friends, stop and consider your latter end for eternity. No water in hell? Maybe there's one in this company. And there will be a time in your experience when you will cry for one drop of water. You can go to the tap any time. You can turn it on and it flows freely. But remember this, there is no water in hell. Judas Iscariot, as each one said, Lord, is it I? Right around that company, it came to Judas. He didn't say, Lord, is it I? He uses a different word. He says, Master, is it I? The other ones had owned him as their Lord and Savior. Judas Iscariot had every privilege of doing the same. But he missed out. He came short. You have had every privilege of being saved. You have had every privilege of being in God's heaven. You have heard the gospel. You have heard God's way of salvation tonight. And yet, my friend, you still find you outside of all the blessings of God, bound for hell, and no Savior. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? It were good for that man. He had not been born. I tonight have relatives in hell. It were good for them that had never been born. For those who miss Christ, friend, drink it in. Let it sink down. Swallow it. This statement of the loving Savior. It were good for that man. He had not been born. Judas was a fraud. Judas was a fake. He was numbered with the 12. Outwardly. But inwardly, he was not right with God. He was never born again. The other 11 were. Friend, are you born again tonight? Have you been reached and saved by the grace of God? You may be numbered with others who profess to be saved. But if you have no link to Christ, there's no salvation. Why? For there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We like to sing that grand old hymn. on Christ, this solid rock I stand, all over ground. Religion, good works, good deeds, paying 200 cents to the dollar, all the best we can do, taking the sacrament, baptism, all over ground. Sinking sand. Are you on the sand tonight? Or, friend, are you on the rock? We've been reminded of death very forcibly this week. Mr. Maxwell here in this part. Mr. Albert Ramsey this morning in Prince Edward Island. Went home very suddenly. Death crossed their pathway. They're men that preach this gospel. They are men that warned others. And thank God for the many that got saved through their preaching. Their voices will never preach again. Their lives speak to us and should speak to young men and even this gathering who are saved. The gospel needs to be spread. You could never preach too much of it. The gospel of God's grace. But they're silent. Mr. Joyce's voice and my voice will be silent, maybe sooner than what we think. But friend, may God help us to warn you faithfully tonight. Listen to the words of the Savior about Judas Iscariot. It were good for that man. He had not been born. Is there a man in this meeting? And this will be said of you. It were good for that man. He had not been born. We read the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8. Isn't it a strange thing? People would swallow a lie and spew out the truth. The Lord Jesus says, why will you not believe me? I speak unto you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Because it's the truth. We read in John 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the truth. What does a sinner say? Well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't have everlasting life. My friend, you don't believe the truth. You would believe the lie before you believe the truth. Why do you not believe me? Said the Savior. Why is it? Because you're of your father the devil. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. He believed his lie. And she wouldn't believe the truth. That's why she partook of the fruit. You would believe the lie tonight. And set aside the words of the Lord Jesus, which is truth. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. I love that. I revel in that. I roll in it. Why? The soul that rests on Christ, it's impossible for them ever to be in hell. That's a great salvation. That's a salvation that's worth having. Have you got it? Have you got something that will stand you in good stead whenever you need it most? Mr. Ramsey and Mr. Maxwell are not depending on their preaching. They're not depending on the life that they sought to live for God. That would never fit them for God's heaven. What are they depending on? The precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary for their sins. Why do you not believe me? Because he's telling you the truth. John 6 and 47. My brother-in-law got saved reading it. Very simple. The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Any complications? Why do you not believe me? Those are the words of truth. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, hath everlasting life. Well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for my sins. I believe of everlasting life. How do I know? My friend, he said it. and willing to take his word for it. Are you?
Would that be enough to keep you out of hell forever?
The words of the Lord Jesus, which is truth, he says it is. Why will you not believe me? He says to you tonight. We read of a man who was not far from the kingdom of God. Multitudes have come close, not far from the kingdom of God. I remember one crapple conference in Prince Edward Island. On the Monday the Mounties came, they were looking for a man and his wife in that audience. They took them out. They had heavy tidings. They had a son who went on the weekend with another company of young men to an island in a lake in Nova Scotia. They did their thing, but they run short of supplies. This young man who was brought up in a Christian home, whose father was a preacher of the gospel, he and this other young man left the island to go to the shore to pick up the supplies. They had an outboard motor on a little boat. The motor was too strong for the size of the boat. Whenever they gave it the throttle, it just turned that boat upside down. And two young men landed in the water. The young man who was brought up in a Christian home, he helped his friend get going, swimming. His friend reached the shore. He looked round for Stephen. He wasn't there. He became alarmed. He tried to find him. Couldn't do it. He raised the alarm. Search party came out Sunday morning. Very calm lake. As they scoured the lake, about 3 inches below the water, there he was standing, drowned, his soul in eternity. Sat in gospel meetings, as you've sat in here, many of them. Whenever we're preaching the gospel, sometimes when we mention David's wail about his son, his dear mother just shakes. Why? Whenever they found his body, he was only one step, for his head would have been right in the water. One step from safety, yet he was underneath. He was in eternity. Not far from safety, but drowned. Not far from hell, but in it. That was Judas Iscariot. Maybe someone in our meeting tonight who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, come to the Savior. He wants to save you. He died that you might be saved. He shed his blood for the cleansing of your sin. John chapter 19. It is finished. What can be done more? Nothing. Friend, there was one who took the guilty sinner's place in dark Golgotha's tree. One who shed his blood for the cleansing of sin. Whose sin? Why did Christ die? 43 years ago, almost, I found out that when Christ died, he died for me. Did you not know that before? I knew it in words, but I didn't really know it. But whenever it dawned in my soul, Christ bore my hell for me, I was saved. Oh, you mean as simple as that? As simple as that. Mr. Peter Orsock and I had meetings in Prince Edward Island. I thought of it as I sat there tonight. One night there was a snowstorm. Peter Orsock couldn't make it to the meeting because of the snowstorm. There were only 10 people in that meeting that night.
One of them was a man, a Roman Catholic, brought up a Roman Catholic. But he'd been attending those meetings, and the Word of God had pricked his conscience. And he longed for God's salvation. Now, Peter didn't show up, but Mr. Ramsay and his wife were on their way from the west of the island to Charlottetown. And Crapo was close to where Charlottetown is. And over the snowstorm was coming down thick and heavy. They came to the meeting. And Mr. Ramsay and I shared the meeting. After the meeting, this fellow Peter Gallant came up, trembling like a leaf. Not because he was cold, but because of his sin and of his thoughts of landing in hell and being there forever. He says, "Man, I want to be saved." Ah, it's good to hear the cry of an honest soul, desiring God's salvation. Mr. Ramsay read some verses with him. He says, "I have to go, Peter." So I read a few more verses with Peter. Peter grasped the truth that my sins were laid on Christ. My sins were transferred from me to Christ when Christ died upon the cross, although I was never born. But that's what he found out. My sins were laid on Jesus. I told Peter Orsock about Peter Gallant. Well, he says, I want to talk to myself. He says, "All right." Well, the next night, Peter came up to the door, and I said to him, I says, "Peter, where's your sins tonight?" He says, "My sins are on Christ." He went to Peter Orsock. Peter Orsock says to him, "Peter, are you saved?" He says, "No." So after they went out, Peter says to me, "I told you he wasn't saved." "Well," I says, "his sins are in Christ. That's what he told me. Could your sins be on Christ and you not be saved? Do you think this is a puzzle?" That's what believing in Christ is. That my sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. We sing that sometimes. Very simple. I can see salvation as clear as the noonday sun and those simple words. Well, Peter and I talked at it the next day. The next night, I just said goodnight, Peter, as he went out. Peter Orsock said to him, "Peter, where's your sins?" He says, "My sins are in Christ." "Are you saved?" "No." Well, we went to see him the next day. And we had to tell him, out of dark Romanism, the soul that believes that their sins are in Christ, they're saved. They have everlasting life. They have eternal life. They'll be in heaven forever. They'll never perish. It's all the same thing. Well, he drank it in. I saw him the weekend before I came to here at the Sussex Conference. I tell you, he's a happy man. Why? His sins are gone. His fears are over. Christ paid in full for his sins. Where's your sins tonight? Are they on Christ? Or are they on you? God says he laid them on Christ. Jesus says, "Why do you not believe me?" Why is it? You believe a lie? My sins are in Christ? I don't want them. They're paid for. Hudson Taylor is a boy of 12. Anxious to be saved. Couldn't see salvation. He read these words. "It is finished." Well, he says, if it's finished, I can't do anything more but accept him as my Savior. And he did. Friends, you can be saved tonight. It's finished. Accept him. My sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. Drink it in. Believe it. Take God's word for it. That's what salvation is.
belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, shalt be cleansed. Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we draw nigh to thee. We pray that tonight some soul will come to the Father to receive the Father's welcome. We thank thee for the great price paid for salvation, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that a soul tonight may trust him and go on their way rejoicing. We pray for bereaved hearts again. We have all experienced this blow. We ask that thou wilt comfort and sustain for thy glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now remember the two remaining closing meetings of the series at this time. Tomorrow night and Friday night at 8 o'clock, 7:30 prayer meeting, a short prayer meeting after this meeting in the will of the Lord. Number 254. Thou art not very far from the kingdom of God. Thou hast heard the sweet call of the King. Thou hast met the glad messenger speeding abroad, his free-hearted welcome to bring. And the kingdom looks bright, but the world is so dear, with its labor and pleasure and sin. Yet it were sad to have seen it so near, never to enter therein. We'll just sing verse 3 and the chorus of 254.